everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at rvfamilytravelatlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are giving our listeners the scoop on the 2015 National RV Trade Show, hosted by the RVIA last week in Louisville, Kentucky.
But just what is this show all about? Kevin Broom, Director of Media Relations for the RVIA, will fill you in.
Plus, hundreds of 2016 debut models and floor plans were on display, and we will discuss the highlights and give you a sneak peek at the interviews you will hear on future episodes.
And listen to hear Stephanie's interview with Karen Redfern, the Senior Director of Marketing Communications at the RVIA. This was her 27th year in Louisville, and she knows a thing or two about the RV industry.
You might think that Louisville is an industry-only event, but we here at RVFTA are going to give you the inside scoop. You are listening to episode number 66, Greetings from the National RV Trade Show.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, greetings from the National RV Trade Show, we need to thank our sponsor, RV Trader.
Thanks, RV Trader.
Thank you so much, RV Trader. RV Trader has all the tools you need to find or sell your RV. To start your search today, visit rvtrader.com. And now it's time for our RVFTA News Roundup.
Yeah, and it's a particularly good news roundup from where I sit over here.
Oh, from where I sit also, I like it as well, because there's some exciting things happening.
There are, and we always say that we have listeners that write in, that keep us like energized with the emails that we get. But at the same time, this week I felt like we had like a really good batch to choose from.
A couple cool emails, yeah. Definitely. Also, we're both very excited because the Good Sam RV Travel Guide is coming out in like December 15th or so. And well, that's exciting every year for me because I usually buy two copies of it, one for upstairs and one for downstairs, which is true. We're in it this year with two really big articles, and particularly with the family travel article, which is going to be a really beautiful spread, lots of great photographs. And there's just something about seeing our work in print that excites me more than seeing our work digital. I hate to say it, but it's true.
Here's the funny thing. You just said that, but the thing is, that's just because we see our work digitally all the time.
Everywhere.
No, I'm saying that years and years ago, there was probably a shift where a lot of the people that publish print got really excited when one of their articles went online and they could just easily send out a blast, linking to it and sharing it.
We definitely see a lot more of our work online. So to see something, old media kind of gets me excited. So look for the Good Sam Travel Guide, which you can order online now or get at Camping World. Right. And if you're a member of Good Sam, it's like $7. It's a bargain.
So just for people who may not be familiar with it, it looks like a phone book.
It looks exactly like a phone book, except that it's a RV travel guide.
Yeah, and it has like campgrounds from...
It has listings for virtually every campground in the country and rankings and ratings. And then the front of the book has a long section of general interest articles about all things RVing. And we're proud to be in it this year. And it's so cool, too, because we wrote the article... last spring.
Yeah. Well,
we wrote the article
in May.
The
other thing about print articles is that the lead time is tremendous. So when you write things online, you get to see them right away.
You press a button and it's up.
And whenever you're writing for print, like our book, you know, it's been done, it's done, but it's not coming out till May. And so it's a different kind of waiting experience.
And when the Good Sam RV Travel Guide comes out, we're going to talk about it again on another episode in a bit more detail, because we're still going to do an episode on trip planning, like on planning the perfect RV trip, and then using that Good Sam Travel Guide is obviously very useful for that.
So and we'll have a giveaway of it.
Oh, I didn't know you were going to announce that. Why not? Sure. Okay.
We're going to
give away five copies of it thanks to the good people at Good Sam.
Yeah.
So also, we had some other kind of exciting news. We started to get a bunch of emails and Facebook messages like Saturday night.
Sometime Saturday, I think.
And what were those about?
So apparently Progressive sent out their newsletter like for their special lines to their RV.
So everybody in the country who has Progressive RV insurance, which is probably a lot of people. We don't have access to that number.
No, they don't tell us.
But it's probably a lot of people. They get a special RV newsletter. And right. I think it only comes out a few times a year.
Right. And so our blog posts were featured in it. The articles that we had done for Progressive over the course of the summer and the fall, some of them were featured in it.
Three of them.
Yeah. And so our listeners are the sweetest people. They were so excited. Like, people were like, you're the stars of the show.
Well, frankly, wait a second. They didn't actually say that we're the stars of the show. We had several emails saying, Max and Theo are smeared all over the Progressive newsletter. They're famous. They didn't say anything about us being famous.
Yeah.
Because there were some good pictures of the boys in the newsletter.
Yeah. So the newsletter had links to our articles that are over there on the blog. And of course, you can always check them out at progressive.com, and we're in the firsthand experiences section. But that was fun. So everybody got our email.
And thank you, because we heard that from you first.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. So we had a really nice email, or just a really encouraging email from Jonathan from the great state of New York. And Stephanie and I have talked before about how exciting it's been to find out that so many of our podcast listeners don't own RVs, and that they're coming to us in sort of their research stage, which we just never anticipated. I guess I always thought we'd get these like aficionados who are just like these hardened RVers, you know, listening to the podcast. That's not really quite how it's turned out to be. I mean, we have those people, but we have a lot of people who are just like trying to figure this whole thing out. And I think Jonathan falls into that camp. We got a really nice email from him this week. So do you want to read it, or do you want me to read it?
Sure. Jonathan said, and he's from New York, the state, upstate New York. Well, not upstate, downstate. Hudson area. Not New York City, I'm saying.
He's from the great state of New York.
The great state of New York.
Okay. Let's leave it at that.
So thank you again, Jeremy and Stephanie, for continued inspiration. We opted outside, as you suggested, on last Friday and had a great day in upstate New York, minus the camper. But today, we did something we never could have imagined doing just 6 months ago. We pulled the new Jayco down to Croton Point near the Hudson River for some chilly views and some much-needed towing practice and backing into spots practice. We ended the day backing into our own very tight driveway for the first time. Nailed it on the first try. Beginner's luck, I'm sure. We wanted to share this news with you. Keep the ideas coming. Pray for no nor'easter so we can get to D.C. in December.
Yeah, they're going to be camping in D.C. in December. Now, Jonathan, I feel you on the tight driveway, man. We always joke, we have no trouble getting the RV into spots all over America, but we got a tight driveway too. So I feel your pain, and I'm glad you nailed it the first time. I hope it's not beginner's luck.
Yeah, and Jonathan emailed us on the day they brought their RV home.
And those emails are just like very cute to us.
Oh, it's so
nice. And we love getting
nice.
Those like we pulled the trigger emails.
Yes. And we get those. And it is, thank you for sending them to us. If you're out there and you're researching and you're going to use this RV shopping season to purchase your first RV, please send us the email. We love those.
And Jonathan, we appreciated the pics and they did look chilly.
Yeah, we got some good pics. But think of how smart they were. They went to some big open area and they did all of this practice.
Yeah, we never did that.
No.
We practiced for the first time at the campground. Now, also, another listener alerted us to something else that we would not have found out about.
No, yeah,
thank goodness for our listeners keeping us in the loop. Yeah, we got a nice email from Daryl about Camping World's Around the Campfire blog, and we were one of the 6 Pinterest accounts to follow.
Yeah. So there you go. There you have it. You better follow us on Pinterest.
Who were some of the other?
Go RVing.
Oh.
Just follow us and Go RVing. And then also Evan with the RV.
Evan Schmarter.
Yes. the RV cooking show.
Rock star.
We've had her on our show.
And we'll have her back.
She contributed to our holiday gift guide. We love Evan. We love her content. And she was up there on Pinterest on that list.
So she deserved it too, in other words.
Yeah. So we were in good company.
Now, Daryl sent a really super charming email along with letting us know about this Pinterest thing. So I'm just going to find it right here. Here we go. So Daryl wrote, "Hello, folks. Congratulations on being listed as a recommended Pinterest account to follow in Around the Campfire."
Thanks, Daryl.
Thanks, Daryl. Not sure what that is. I'll have to check it out. We didn't know either.
No. Daryl didn't know. Read the next sentence and then I'll clarify.
His son, he says his name, mm-hmm. got me set up with Instagram last week. Wow, you and Janine have been busy. Yes, they have.
Okay, so Daryl, when he says he didn't know what that was, he's talking about Pinterest.
Oh, he didn't know what Pinterest was.
I love it. Daryl doesn't know what Pinterest is. He didn't know what Instagram was a week before. Right. His son gets him set up. I love our listeners.
Oh, and by the way, his son, Andrew, who I'm going to name because he's come to our rallies, podcast
and
listener.
And he just,
the kid listens to our podcast.
He got his parents
to listen to our podcast. Smart kid.
They came to meet us at the Hershey Show and they were just such
adorable,
wonderful.
And I have
family.
This to say about Andrew. Smart kid.
He's
bright future.
Yeah, no doubt.
Turning his parents on to our podcast. Hey, mom, dad, check out this RV podcast.
I love it.
I double love it.
He's like there is a teenager out there who thinks we're cool. I'm just going to hold on to that.
Right, because when our kids are teenagers, they're not going to be. We got a while to go. Right. He goes on to write, "Andrew was excited last night when he told us he won the Camp Casual Serving Set." And Andrew did. He won the Camp Casual Serving Set. And when we picked the winner, we had no idea. We didn't know it was him.
Because, everybody's Instagram names are different than their
everyone's
real
got these
names.
Crazy handles.
Yeah, so we were like, oh, and we just like inboxed the person on Instagram. Like,
and then
you
we
won.
Found out.
And then we find out that he won.
Daryl goes on to write, "This will make a nice addition to the dish set we purchased at Hershey."
Aww.
"Well, I'm off to call Hadesee to enter the raffle for a little guy 5 wide. That's something
he
else.
He heard that on Girl Camper. Girl Camper podcast.
We got to get used to this. Now we're getting these emails referencing both of the podcasts. Could get confusing. You guys, and this is the money line. "You guys have made our RV journey so much more enjoyable." And I just want to say back to Daryl and his family, listeners like you have made our RV journey more enjoyable as well. I mean, it's really fun interacting with the people listening.
Absolutely.
And then I went back and forth with Daryl because that's what I do. And there was just one other really adorable line from another email. And he said, in a different email, he said, "I look forward to both podcasts each week, just as I looked forward to listening to Gene Shepherd every evening on the radio as a kid."
Yay!
And I also love the thought that, podcasting in general, and our podcast is sort of filling that hole of like the old timey radio show, right?
Yeah. And we feel so sort of blessed that like families choose to listen to our show together. And we do hear that.
And that's why we don't cuss on the show.
We hear like we put it on in the car when we're traveling to and from. And so we do think we're tapping into that same feeling of old time radio, and that makes us happy.
And it's clean, wholesome RV content, right?
We clean our act up for this show.
Okay, so let's pivot towards the feature topic. Shall we pivot?
Yeah.
So this week's feature topic is greetings from the National RV Trade Show. The National RV Trade Show in Louisville, Kentucky is hosted by the RVIA. So Stephanie decided to get an interview with Kevin Broom, who's the director of media relations for the RVIA. And he's going to kind of break it down for us and get us all set up and explain to our listeners what this event is all about.
Right. Kevin is in charge of sort of the media and putting the message of the RVIA, which is, hey, you should go RVing, right?
And so should you. And you and you.
And you and you and you. So Kevin's the one who gets the message of the RV lifestyle out to morning talk shows, radio shows, right? He puts those stories of the RV life out in in general
into
media.
Into the old school media, mainstream media, digital media, all that stuff.
Yeah. So I reached out to Kevin. And I said, would you just explain to our listeners exactly what we're doing here, what goes on here? And he was kind enough to oblige.
And so Kevin's going to come on and give us sort of the official perspective.
The party line.
And then we'll come back after that. And Stephanie's going to give you the dirt.
That's right.
The unofficial version. She's going to tell you what really happened.
Well, yeah.
Or is it not really that juicy?
It's not that juicy, but we can talk about it like it is.
I tried.
All right, here's Kevin.
So I'm here at the 2015 National RV Trade Show in Louisville, and I'm talking with Kevin Broom, who's the Director of Media Relations, because we were sharing some things on social media, and all of our listeners and all of our followers are saying, well, where are you, and what are you doing, what is this thing, and why didn't I hear about it? So Kevin's going to explain to our listeners sort of what this show is and who comes here and what they do. So welcome, Kevin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for taking time out. I know that you're responsible for most of what goes on in this building right now.
No, very little.
A little tiny piece. Okay. So this show is organized by the RVIA. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just tell our listeners what that is as an organization and what they do in the industry?
Yeah, RVIA stands for Recreation Vehicle Industry Association, and we are the association that represents the companies that manufacture RVs and that make the components that go into them. So the manufacturers and the suppliers. So sample members would be companies like Winnebago, Forest River, Tiffin, Thor, basically everybody who makes RVs in North America is a member of RVIA.
Okay. And so they're all gathered here at this show, this trade show. What is this trade show for? Who comes and what's the purpose of it?
Yeah, this is the biggest industry trade show. And it's when I say industry, the people who come are, one, the manufacturers come, of course, and they all have displays. There's about 1,000 RVs, all indoors here, 1,000 RVs in about 750,000 square feet of show space. And it's the latest designs. All of the products that you're going to see on the dealer lots in 2016, they're all here. And so the people who come, so the manufacturers come, the suppliers come, and so you'll see all the companies that have stuff that goes into the RVs, and then the dealers come as well. And the dealers are coming to shop, to look and see which floor plans they think are going to sell. And so the dealers are here looking to buy RVs that they're going to sell to the customer.
Now, I also noticed a schedule of seminars and presentations. What kinds of things go on sort of behind those closed doors?
Yeah, there's a number of things that are happening there in terms of the presentations, seminars. And just real quick, so people don't try to come out. It's
right.
Open only to
right.
the industry. So this is not a like open to the public show. Mm-hmm. This is strictly a bit like inside business
show. Yeah, we've been telling people that on Instagram all week. We're like, no.
Don't try to miss anything. Right. So what the seminars are for, some of them are technical training. It's to train the technicians who will service your RV, who are going to, refrigerator repair, plumbing, automotive, all the stuff that goes into RVs. It's training on how to work on all that. So that's part of it. There's also some seminars for dealers, things about how they can make their operations, work better, how they can promote themselves, how they can boost their sales, how they can improve their customer service, all things that would be of interest to their business. It's all that's all what's being presented here.
Okay, so it's for dealers, it's for manufacturers, it's for the producers of all of the products that go into these things. So how does all of this happening sort of behind the scenes every single year in Louisville, how does that directly affect the consumer of the RV?
Yeah, well, one, it's going to affect what you see. First of all, at the first level, it's what's shown here and what the dealers are buying. That's what you're going to see on the dealer lots in the spring. So when you're shopping, you're going to see the stuff that they're seeing here.
Right.
So that's first. And then with the suppliers, a lot of the suppliers that are here, they're exhibiting the gadgets, the new systems and stuff that will filter into your RVs, either one through the aftermarket, when you go to the dealer and they've got their RV store,
right.
You'll be able to go in and you'll be able to purchase a lot of the things that we have.
Good shopping opportunity.
Yeah, good shopping opportunity, exactly. And then also just new systems, new components, new technologies that will show up into the RVs next year. Like there's Thetford's got a new toilet or new sewage disposal
right.
system that's...
I tweeted about the funny toilet press release.
That's...
toilets
good
are
technology.
Important.
It's good technology, and it's really interesting what they're doing. So it's that kind of thing. And you'll see that those things showing up. It's going to basically make RVs better.
Okay.
And that's a big part of it. And then the other part of it with the seminars, it helps you know, dealers, technicians, basically improve the service that they're offering to the RVer,
right.
RV owner.
So really, indirectly, everything that happens here really impacts what our listeners experience at the dealership level for the rest of 2016.
The dealership level, and also their you know, the how the RVs are going to be used, how they're going to be, you know, basically everything that we do here is targeted ultimately toward the consumer, toward the people who are going to be using the RVs.
Right. Well, we've seen some really exciting things here so far, and obviously everybody on social media is excited about the pictures. They want to come. We told them no, but we'll try to let them know as much as we can about what they see, and then we'll also encourage them to get out and see it for themselves at the dealerships when the RVs roll onto the lot in 2016, right?
Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Kevin, so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
And now it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at RVTrader.com.
If you've been dreaming about the perfect RV for you and your family, RV Trader has a ton of resources to help you make the right decision.
With thousands of RVs for sale across the country, finding what you want is easy.
Helpful icons on the homepage will show you the difference between motorhomes, travel trailers, toy haulers, and truck campers. And once you pick the type you're looking for, you can narrow your search by make, model, state, and even price.
Also, if you're looking to upgrade or sell your current RV, RVTrader.com can help you do that too. Millions of local buyers shop every month and will contact you directly if interested in purchasing your unit.
RV Trader has all the tools you need to find and sell your RV. To start your search today, visit RVTrader.com.
Thanks again to Kevin Broom for getting us set up there with the official version of this RVIA trade show in Louisville. Now, Stephanie, are you ready to give us the inside scoop, the real deal, the skinny, what really went down at RVIA?
I am prepared. I'm ready. And I have a lot on tape, right? So we have a lot to talk about. But yeah, I'm going to start all the way at the beginning, minute one, which was bright and early on
7:30 start time. What are they thinking?
I'm going to say this. Not only are the people in the RV industry clearly early risers, they're also very prompt because the speeches actually started at 7:30.
Don't work that way in Jersey, people.
So when I saw
that they're building RVs all the time, they've got to be like clockwork out there.
So when I first saw that the start time was 7:30, I of course assumed, "Oh, breakfast is at 7:30, right? And then the speeches will start 8:30.
You've got to earn your breakfast, don't
no.
you?
People were talking, giving speeches right away, but they were very engaging, interesting speeches. So that was okay. Even though it was early, I was scribbling away at notes and I was really, really captivated by a lot of the information that they were offering.
I really think I just saw your notebook for the first time tonight where you scribbled all those notes. Kind of adorable.
You've used the word adorable, I think, 10 times in this episode so
far. Not.
So I'm capping you off at adorable. Nothing else is adorable, okay? So at the Outlook breakfast, there was a bunch of people who are in the RVIA, and they're just giving basically their reports of the good things that happened in the industry over the course of the past year. And there were good things. It was a great year for the industry. And then they're also talking about their goals for the next year, right? Both things at the same
Thus,
time.
Thus, Outlook.
Yeah.
And then everyone gets hungry.
And I think that everyone ate before I even got there.
Did you not have breakfast that morning, dear?
I did. I ate a little bit while I was... They brought me breakfast. I ate a little bit, but I was scribbling madly. So
what were they talking about?
So, of course, when I was first listening, I was like, yep, millennial. Like, the word kept coming up because they're talking about how they're having to shift their marketing, right? what kind of platform people are coming to them in, by either it's print or digital. Well, of course we know it's digital, right? When people are planning their trips, when they're researching their RVs, everything's digital.
Now, I read recently that for the first year, the RVIA is spending, the Go RVing people are spending more on digital than on print or television, which is pretty shocking. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, but it's like, whoa, the world has changed.
Oh, absolutely, because many of us consume. I mean, you're reading on a screen even. You know, you may be consuming your articles. It's the same thing, but it's on a screen. I'm so digital now. I love my long-form articles from the New York Times Magazine, and I love to read them on the screen. So there they go. And Go RVing, the RVIA, they have shifted according to what's out there, which is great to
and
hear.
Is there, like, was there a sense to you that the RVIA and the Go RVing people are steering the ship? Is that sort of the idea? Like, let's keep our eyes here on where we're going, which is the millennials. Let's not get stuck in kind of old-fashioned ways of doing business.
I think that they're very concerned about progress and always making sure that they are tapping into the new thing, what's out there, and that they're reaching their market. Now, so millennials was brought up over and over again, but guess what? Somebody said, you know, one of the speakers said, you know, millennials are important, but boomers, baby boomers, are actually signing up for social media at higher rates than millennials.
I think a couple of them follow us.
Yeah, because they love it. Once they get going on the Facebook and once they get going on
they figure out Instagram, it's like, okay, we're like a younger person and just so intuitive to get started. I think that older person needs a little help.
And we know that with our podcast. We talk about our podcast and there's a lot of people in the next generation up older than us and they're like, okay, where do I find one of those? And and we find ourselves in the position of having to educate people about where to find a podcast.
And once they realize it's right there on their phone.
Oh, then they're
podcast
crazy.
It's like two buttons away. It's like all of a sudden they're podcast freaks.
Yeah. Right. So people get into it. So they're talking about let's not take our eyes off of the baby boomers because they're an incredibly important market to reach with our social media also.
And of course, they're an incredible market to reach because they have buying power to buy RVs.
Yeah, and speaking of buying power, another focus group that they were honing in on was women. They said, we cannot forget that women are making decisions 80% of the time in RV purchases, that they are the ones who are saying, we're going to go with this, not that. So from a manufacturing standpoint, I really felt like I can see that reflected.
That's such an interesting dynamic too, right? That women are really making the final call. And to me, it's like, correct me if I'm wrong, like the man probably is pushing to buy one, right? I want one. I want an RV. And then to make the deal happen, the wife gets to pick. Do you think that's part of the dynamic?
I think that might be true in some cases, but I don't think you could say in more cases men drive an RV purchase, because we know just as many women who really push their husbands
That's
into
true.
The RV
you know,
lifestyle.
And honestly, now that you say that, anecdotally, like not research-based, and the people we know, it is often the wife who's saying, I want the family time, I want the vacation time.
I don't think that it's one or, I mean, you know, who knows? Those numbers may be out there, but I would think that it's an even, you know, split. But what they're saying is that women usually have more of an opinion about the creature comforts of the RV, right?
So true with you. I mean, it's so true in our case.
Right. I have opinions about things and you're like, really?
I like, you know, like I like 80% of them. You know, for you, it's more like, no, you know, like, I only
well,
like the 20% of them or whatever it is.
Yeah. We can kind of see ourselves in a space oftentimes as women. We're like, no, because when I'm chopping things right there at this counter, I'm going to be bumping into this or I'm not going to be able to reach that or look, some kid's going to be running into that. So I can kind of see my world like play out in the space a little more.
Some people call that autobiographical planning.
Okay. So then also during one of my interviews later on, I was talking to Mike Applin from Jayco, and we'll talk more
toy
about
toy hauler guy.
But, you know, he told me how he designs his toy haulers.
Tell us.
He said he looks through his wife's home design magazine.
And he also told you that they're that toy haulers in general are moving away from being like having a NASCAR feel to having, I mean, what is the word, residential, feeling comfortable for a man and a woman.
Yeah, some people might say, oh, enough already with the residential. You know what? It's a good word for what's going on out there. He could point to finishes that are residential.
I think generally speaking, toy haulers have become more comfortable, residential, and homey than even some travel trailers.
Yeah, but it goes in line with the fifth wheels too. So we won't, you know, we'll go down that road when we talk about toy haulers, because we're going to do a whole episode on that. But yeah, I do think that that push for residential design comes from manufacturers realizing that women are driving the final decision making process in a lot of these purchases. For 2016, they were saying that they are going to be teaming up with the National Parks campaign. We're not surprised to hear that.
Match made in heaven.
Yep. I mean, look, it's going to be all about the National Parks. We've told people campgrounds are going to be busy next year. You need to be doing your planning now.
And in terms of like Americans celebrating their national parks, I'm sorry, what better way than either tenting or RVing, right? I mean, there's going to be campground options that are closer to the parks or in the parks, where hotel options can be quite a bit further away.
Yeah, and more expensive.
And I mean, more expensive.
The lodges within national parks really can be quite pricey. So they're really going to use that opportunity to promote.
I'm excited to see where they go with that. Mm-hmm. And I want to cover that on the podcast here.
Yeah. And so the keynote speaker was Peter Sheehan. And he's not actually in the industry. He's one of those speakers that comes from sort of a different perspective.
An author.
He's the CEO of a development company, consulting company.
I call them the spawn of Malcolm Gladwell.
Okay, yes. He is like a Malcolm Gladwell, I guess. And he came in and he gave a wonderful, very engaging talk. I just enjoyed listening to him. And
it wasn't
was
it an Irish accent or Scottish?
No, New Zealand or Australian,
I think.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. But so he talked about really the success of the RV industry and how he wanted to encourage the manufacturers in the industry to capitalize on that success. So he was saying, look, a lot of times people don't innovate until they're forced to, right? You crash because, say, gas prices went through the roof and now you've got...
So it's like that necessity is the mother of invention mentality. He's saying, no, that's not the way it should be. Success should be the mother of invention.
Yeah. He was saying, you are at the top of your game. Now is the time to innovate. Now is the time to sit around and get ahead of, he called it like the S curve, right? Where, you know, you go up and then you go down and then you go up and you go down, natural dips and rises in industries.
I think that you have the money, the RV industry, they have the money now for research and development, where it's like when you're laying people off, you're not going to also have the money to be like investing in improvements.
Well, right. And so he said at that point, people usually make just like sort of desperate attempts, right, to turn things around and to come back. Whereas when you are at a place where you're really successful and you're doing well, you can stop and you can say, what are we going to do to meet the demand?
Developing out of a sense of confidence as opposed to a sense of like, we got to put something flashy out there.
Yeah. Creativity too, you know, developing out of that sense of creativity and what you want your industry to look like. And, you know, he's encouraging people, hey, use all this market research that you have. You know, don't just say you know how things should be. He said that many people make decisions based on how they want to do things or they like to do things. So he said like an RV manufacturer, RV dealer might be like, well, I like to recreate this way.
I want to go fishing and whatever. You know, and it's like we have seen this through this podcast that the world out there, people who are buying RVs, has become so diverse. It's so radically different than it was when we were kids. That's for sure.
Yeah. And he said, hey, don't just say that. Look, you have all this data at your disposal. You have all this ability to see who your audience is out there and who's going to buy your product. So listen to what the market's telling you and don't just make decisions based on what you like or how you've done things. And that's a great message for the industry.
So that sounds like that was a great speech.
It was.
And
it was.
I actually got to watch that on YouTube. That was, I found that on YouTube.
Yeah.
Now let's
Wasn't he engaging?
He was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, and there's so many of his speeches on YouTube, right? Because this guy is giving speeches all over the place. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of good stuff by him out there. Now let's give everyone a sneak peek of all the interviews that you did. Mm-hmm. Because one of the big reasons you were there was to get a lot of industry interviews and give us some great content that we're going to be releasing over the next month or 2 months even. So tell us, who did you interview, and give us a little sneak peek for each person.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we consider this RV shopping season, right?
That's right. It's not camping season for us here in the Northeast. It's it's trip planning and RV shopping season.
Right. Those are the two things.
And we want our content to be based around that, around trip planning and around RV shopping.
Right. So what we decided to do was all of these interviews, we're not just going to like release them like all packed in together. We're centering show topics around these industry interviews.
We're going to craft content around these interviews. We're not going to do a big content dump on you.
No, no content dumps. Right. So for example, one of the episodes that we have coming up is going to be all about the retro model craze out there. Yes, there's been 1, 2, 3 popping up here and there. Well, finally, you can see more out there. It's like more.
It's not at the point where every manufacturer is putting out something there, but it feels like it's moving in that direction where every manufacturer is going to give their nod to retro.
Right.
So we're going to do an episode on just kind of covering what are the retro models that are out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What can you find if you're interested in that kind of look? And then in that episode, we're going to have my interview that I did with John Millis, who is the Class A gas product manufacturer at Winnebago. He is not that anymore, actually, because the day that I interviewed him and he talked about this on the podcast, he got a new position with the company.
So they saw you interviewing him and then they promoted him. I think that's what you just said.
He did such a good job with me. They were like, okay, you get
to go. This guy is all over Winnebago's YouTube channel doing walkies. He seems like a great guy. I'm so glad you interviewed him.
Oh, he was great.
So he does a lot of the Winnebago walkthroughs on YouTube if you want to check out some of his work that he does for Winnebago.
So he talked about the Brave with me. And it was such a great conversation because we, instead of just like talking about the model and saying, oh, the couch is here and the sink's over there, we talked about the history of the Brave, you know, and their decision making behind bringing it back. And he had a couple surprises for me. I have to say, I had my questions and there was a couple answers that I did not see coming. And so it was a fun interview.
I'm excited for that one. My goodness, that's going to be a great interview. And there's such a high interest model for people out there.
Right. So then also toy haulers.
I have been begging to do a toy hauler episode for a while. And
we haven't been able to squeeze it in.
We're going to squeeze it in. We're going to get that an entire episode dedicated to toy haulers. We want to look at alternate uses of toy haulers. First of all, I'm infatuated with toy haulers. Right. You know, like, I'm pushing us in that direction somewhat. I don't know if it's just like a flirtation or if it's like the real thing for me.
I'm not even responding.
But you got a great interview.
Yes. So I talked with Mike Applin from Jayco, who has just taken their whole toy hauler division to the next level over there at Jayco. He hasn't been there long.
High energy guy.
But in the time he's been there, he's done a lot, and you can see why, because he's got a lot to say. And he also just has such an interesting perspective on the toy hauler that came out within a couple of minutes. I was talking to him and I was scribbling down things.
Sounds like he has like a philosophy of the toy hauler.
He does. And I said at one point, I was like, oh, okay, now you've schooled me and you've educated me. But he goes, oh, I didn't mean to do that. And I was like, no, this is good. Like, you're teaching me.
No, that's what we wanted.
That's what I want. So that's going to be in a whole segment.
And I think that a lot of consumers think, well, I don't have ATVs or whatever it is. You don't need to have those heavy duty toys to want a toy hauler.
Wow. Should I say? Yeah. He said to me at one point, I don't want to give away the whole interview, but he said, hey, would you buy a house without a garage?
I wouldn't.
And he goes, you know, I don't think you should buy an RV without a garage. He said, this isn't about whether you're in NASCAR, whether you have a ATV. This is about whether you want a garage
attached to your house. It's a great line, really.
Oh, so good. Yeah.
It makes me go, duh. I mean, just for me, it's like the bikes and the kayaks are reason enough to want that toy hauler.
Yeah, this guy believes in his toy haulers. So he gave a great interview about that. Amy Duthie. gave me an interview on the J Flight. Now, some of you might have seen out there in their media campaigns from JCO that this is the 10th anniversary of the J Flight being the number one travel trailer.
Number one selling travel trailer
in America.
So we wanted to like find out like why. What's the deal here? Talk to us. Teach us about J-Flight. Why are you number one?
Mm-hmm. So Amy Duthi is in charge of that line for JCO. She's the product manager.
And
she
also does a lot of the YouTube videos, or at least a bunch.
Yeah. And she gave me an interview just really educating me about the line and why it's so popular and what it offers to different people, both at varying weights and sizes.
Yeah, so the J Flight line is really big. Lots of different models in there.
Right.
So what other interviews did you scoop up?
Okay, so then our last manufacturer that I talked to that we're going to have on the show was Jim Waters from Lance. Now, Jim, and I have to say there's quite a few of these that I talked to, marketing coordinators at the different manufacturers. Jim's young. Now, I don't know exactly.
So youngster, like 12, 13? What are you talking about here? Right?
You start to know you're old when you look at somebody, you're like, you look like a teenager. But Jim is young. I mean, he's younger than I am. I don't know how old he is. I didn't ask. But he's young. And he is so good
at his
job.
Well, you're 25, so what are the options?
21. So I was over there just sort of wandering around, Lance, peeking in, looking at a few things, but not really having a direct agenda, you know, with them. Like, I had a bunch of checklist items to do while I was in Louisville, and that there wasn't anything that I was specifically there for. Well, Jim walks over to me and introduces himself to me. He says, can I help you with anything? Can I give you any information? So I said, well, because this is how I am. Can you? I don't know. Is there something here that should interest me? Like, I was like, here.
How saucy of you.
No, I said it nice.
Oh, you said it nice.
But I said, hey, here are our listeners, right? This is who we are. This is what we do. What do you think you have for me? Well, Jim was so excited to talk to me about their newest truck camper.
Being young, he probably knew what a podcast was.
Oh, he did. And he knew what it, you know, he's on Instagram. And, you know, so he knows the social media stuff. And that's why these companies are hiring the younger set, because they know how to reach the new
RVer. They know how to post photos on Instagram.
They do. So he ended up talking to me about some of their new products. And I said, Jim, I have like 4 interviews lined up. Starting in 10 minutes. I said, I'm like jam-packed to the end of the day. He goes, Stephanie, whenever. You come back, we'll talk. If you want to interview me, whenever you can fit me in, that's awesome. I'd love to talk to you about it. I had such a good time talking to him about truck campers.
You've always kind of liked truck campers. Well, I retract.
Yeah.
You did not like truck campers. And when we were doing And when we were doing a speaking at the Colorado RV show last winter, I was like, honey, let's go into a couple of truck campers. Like, they're really nice. And you were like, whatever.
Oh, I told Jim that story.
And we stepped into either a Lance or an Arctic Fox. I can't remember which one. And you were like, oh my, you were like, this is comfortable, right? Cozy, comfortable, almost luxurious.
They have so much more room inside. I say to this
they do,
day,
they
I
do.
Can never believe
it's
how
It's like a
roomy.
Magic trick.
I interviewed Lance, I'm calling him Lance. I interviewed Jim in the truck camper. We sat at a table and it was not uncomfortable. We don't know each other very well.
Well, the ones that we went into at the Colorado RV show, surprisingly spacious.
Yeah.
So we'll have that interview coming up, and you had one last interview you scooped up.
Right. So I also talked to Eldon Wood over at Truma. Okay. And we talked about Truma as a company and a lot about what they have going on. They're new in the American market for the last 3 years.
So they're huge in the European market. Do they actually make RVs in the European market, or are they all like extra products for the RV?
Yeah, all products, electrical systems, right? They're a systems type of
hot water heaters, all that stuff.
Eldon gave me the history of the company. Really interesting. And then we also talked about the AquaGo.
The company was named after Harry Truman.
Yeah.
You tweeted that, I think.
I did tweet that. I love that fact. The owner, and you're going to hear this in the interview, the owner actually wrote a letter to President Truman after World War II and said, can we have permission to name our company after you in honor of what America
did? That is adorable.
There you said it again.
Well, the last time I said it was like the first time I said it.
So really nice story about that, too. but we'll hear that on the Truma interview.
And now, because we know everyone wants to know what I was doing all week last week.
You have to share. You want to share.
I thought I'd give a quick rundown of what happened at home.
I don't want to know.
So when my
I don't want to know.
When my mother found out that Stephanie was leaving for most of the week, she was concerned.
Yeah.
So she brought over Ovaltine and a huge box of Cheerios for us.
That was, no, and paper plates.
Oh, paper plates.
Paper bowls and paper cups. There was a huge
That was her
supply.
Idea of emergency, mom is not here, rations for the week. Yeah. And yeah. It's the biggest box of Cheerios I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And my mother brings over the Ovaltine. You know what she said to me? She said, it's filled with vitamins. It's good for the kids.
Yeah, vitamin sugar.
Yeah, well, I gave them a couple cups, and they were bouncing off the walls.
The first ingredient in Ovaltine is sugar.
And the other, you know, the takeaway for me, though, being without you for four nights or so, you know, I never was in a fraternity in college. And now I know what that's like.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I'm not
surprised. We trashed this place.
Yeah. I was a little overwhelmed on Friday, like looking around, taking note of what had to happen to whip this place back into shape. I'm going to be honest, I was paralyzed.
Well, and that's after I spent about 6 hours cleaning. And I'm not I'm saying sure. that to make a funny.
Well, honey, okay. You made your best effort maybe, but I was like,
yeah,
oh,
I mean,
my
women
gosh.
Do civilize us. You know, yeah. We have three boys, and I just realized we're basically animals when you're not here.
When I'm not here.
The other thing that was weird was we woke up every morning in different configurations. Like, one morning we'd wake up and Wes would be in my bed. The next morning we'd wake up and I'd be in Max's bed. One morning we woke up and all three of them were in our bedroom and one of them was asleep on the floor.
Oh my God.
And I don't know how it happened, but see, just like, you not being here, everyone just like, kind of like shifting beds all week.
Just moving around.
Well, because
like, we
there was this vacancy
ourselves.
In your spot in the bed.
No,
so
there was
everyone,
no authority. Get in bed.
Oh, stop. No, this all happened while I was asleep. It wasn't lack of authority.
Yeah, but they feel it. They know.
The other thing we did was we binged on Andy Griffith on Netflix. Okay, so that all kept right. us busy. And the only real problem I actually did have was Wesley would wake up every morning at 5 a.m. asking for you.
Well, I know.
And asking
we have our
if you were at work. And for the first morning or two, he kind of just fell back asleep. Third morning,
he
cried
said, no,
a little.
She's at the RVIA Outlook breakfast because it already started.
Fourth morning, he was really crying and howling for you. And aww. I was like really desperate for him to stop. It was 5 a.m. Then I realized I had a Mickey Mouse cartoon downloaded on my iPhone. And so he's howling in the night. And I said, Wesley, Mick Mouse Daddy's phone, because that's what he calls yeah. it. And the crying stopped immediately.
Turned off.
And I put on Mick Mouse Daddy's phone. And
at 5 a.m.
At 5 a.m. And you can judge me for that if you want.
Yeah. Well, no. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Now, we have a great interview to wrap up this show, to wrap up this whole RVIA extravaganza. So why don't you set us up for this really great interview you did with Karen Redfern.
Okay. So Karen Redfern is the senior marketing director over at the RVIA. And I was talking with her about programs, or I would say campaigns that Go RVing was developing for 2016. And I thought that's what we would do with our interview.
Like a sneak peek, sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah, like, okay, so what's in the future? What are we going to see from Go RVing? Yay. And I'm talking to her, and the more I'm talking to her, I'm thinking, you are just the story here. I want to do an interview with you because you're really interesting. Karen has been with RVIA for 27 years. This was her 27th Louisville. And she has stories to tell, but also one of the things that struck me was how innovating she is. She is always willing to say, what's next? And I sat there, and as I was talking to her just privately when we were having our conversations, she was like, always thinking, what's around the corner? What's around the corner?
That also, what strikes me about what you're saying about Karen and about the Go RVing people and the RVIA people is that you know, the industry people are busy building RVs, mm-hmm. right? It's a lot of hard work, and there's a real work ethic to most mm-hmm. of these manufacturers out there in the Midwest. And I'm really like getting the sense that the RVIA and the Go RVing people are steering them into the future. You know, they're so busy working and building and making these models. This is the body that kind of keeps them moving in the right direction.
Or just offers that sort of fresh inspiration, right? Like, yeah, we're here building the RVs, but this is what it's all about. It's all about the mountains and the stream and the beaches. So you're going to hear me talking with Karen. Here you go.
So we're here at Louisville at the RVIA National Trade Show, and I'm sitting with Karen Redfern, who's the Senior Director of Marketing Communications for RVIA. And I was talking to her yesterday about the show and all of the fascinating information that she had for me about Go RVing. And in that process, I learned that she's one of the more fascinating people that I've ever talked to. So I said, I need to learn more about you and not just your role with Go RVing. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, too. So welcome, Karen.
Great. Thank you very much, Stephanie.
So this is your 27th.
Yes, 27 years here at Louisville.
At Louisville for 27 years.
3 days before the show started and came right here to see and get totally immersed in what the RV industry was. And it just totally blew my mind even at that time.
And you never left.
I never left.
So you've seen the industry really transform.
Huge changes.
Over three decades.
Yes.
So take us back to when you started with RVIA mm-hmm. 27 years ago. What are some of those major shifts in the industry that you've been witness to?
The major changes have been the use of the products, the building material products, I mean, and making a lighter weight, more durable RV, those that are a lot more efficient, easily towed. The tow vehicles have changed. We've had the challenges of the gas economy cutting in, yet we still have those vehicles that are eligible for towing. But we've seen the manufacturers respond by creating vehicles that are more aerodynamic. Obviously, with the gas prices increasing, they're cognizant of the consumers looking for vehicles that were going to get them that better gas mileage, be easier to tow. Making them more maneuverable so that people could get around a lot easier and just becoming part of their everyday lifestyle, because everybody's vehicles were changing and they wanted to make a product that fit in very easily with what they already owned for their own personal vehicles. So those have really, and the innovations obviously in space. The slide outs coming in to the vehicles were something that, and when I first started, nobody was even thinking of. They became such an inherent part of so many of the vehicles so that the manufacturers could create a smaller vehicle. And yet when you get there and you expand the vehicle, you have a lot more living space and people aren't on top of each other.
Right. So from a manufacturer side, you've seen the product itself change. And then you've also changed probably the way you've marketed to the individual who's using the RV.
Absolutely. I mean, in the beginning, we were marketing to the people who are already RVers. It was working with all of the consumer publications of the owners already, the Trailer Lifes and the Family Motor Coach. So we weren't expanding that reach. We just assumed that the people would come to us. They would reach that certain age or that certain point in their life that they would say, oh, we need to become an RVer, and they would find us. We knew that we, in order to sustain the industry, had to go and reach them first, and we had to get them involved with it earlier. We had to bring them in while they still had those children that they could influence and who could grow up in this lifestyle, love it for the experiences that they shared with their family, the bonding, and then they would want to become those RVers for life, and it would perpetuate itself. So we started in the days with an 800 telephone number that we answered personally, and we stuffed paper packages of information to get the information out there to the consumers to try to become that one source. We worked with the Campground Association, ARVC, and with the RV Dealers Association. So the first program we created was Go Camping America to try to get people to think along the ideas of camping. And we stuffed packets of information, lists of lists, and got that out to them.
Direct mailing.
Direct mailing at its best. I had lots of paper cuts, I can tell you. Then we evolved into sending out videotapes to people. But again, it was people writing in or phone calls. hauling. And then obviously in the last 25 years with the advent of the internet, we've evolved as quickly as technology has evolved, as we've gotten to the point of where people download that information and access it from a website for us. But we're still at the core, it's the same organizations promoting the industry as a whole. We're not promoting individual brands, and we're just trying to get people in to understand how an RV and the traveling that you can do with the RV and the time you can spend enhances what you already do in your life. We're not trying to change people's lifestyles, we're just teaching them how they can enhance what they already love.
So you mentioned that before you were doing a lot of marketing to people who already knew they wanted an RV, and now you're trying to reach people who may not understand that RVing is a perfect match. What kind of mediums do you use to do
that? We're seeding, you know, the ideas, and of course television is always very expensive, but we know that we can reach people through that. But as the digital age has advanced, that is where we're concentrating, because the best part of the digital is we can change on the fly. We can go out and do a video production this week, and within the next couple weeks, we can have something new out there. We can create a new 30-second piece, a 15-second piece. We can put it on Instagram. We can put it out in the social media. We can take photos of events that we're at that are happening, telling people where we are, bringing people there immediately, so that it's not necessarily something where you have to put out a calendar, notify people in advance of where you're going to be. You can connect with them instantly, letting them know where you are and providing them that same information. But we can change it very quickly. It's not the productions and the long lead times that you have to do for a magazine advertisement that has to go in months in advance and it's set in stone. With the digital, we can change it on the fly. We can use real people, real stories, and change them up at any time that we want to.
Now, even though you are a veteran of this industry, it seems like you're incredibly willing to change according to what the new market is out there. You were telling me that years ago you decided to start doing Facebook in your spare time because you couldn't even get on it at the office, right?
I was rogue, yes. The whole idea of what was the social media and could it create more problems than it could create positives, and how many people were really going to be in the social media, and isn't it really just for the kids? And obviously we're not trying to approach the kids. So there was this apprehension as to whether that should really become a part of a marketing program. So the firewalls at the office and the powers that be said, no, that's not where it should be. I created the Facebook page for Go RVing and did it from home at night, and we would create posts. And once we got those up to 1,000 people that were participating, it was like, okay, this might be a way that we can reach people. And now we're up at almost 700,000 people that follow us on Facebook alone.
And you're not slowing down on that. Never. As your methodology, because you were talking to me already about things that are around the corner and what you're looking at next. So just tell our audience, which loves to meet you on social media, right? Our listeners are the people that are going to go out and look at your videos and use that social media that you're providing. So tell them where else you're going to be and what you're going to be doing out there.
Sure. We change as obviously the technology and the products change. But we don't jump into things immediately. We knew a couple years ago that Instagram just wasn't the right audience for us yet. It was a lot of that younger set that were thinking of taking pictures of them hanging out with their friends and posting them. But it's changed, and people have realized what a great medium it is. The age of the and the demographics has changed, so it's an area that we're extremely strong in now. We moved into it about 2 years ago. The same thing with Pinterest. For a while, it was just this, we can create boards that really tell our RVing story. The best thing about the digital platform is that we can post videos on our video microsite that we have, which is away.gorving.com. And those are real stories by real RVers that we capture in about a minute and a half to 2 minute stories. We can take that video, we can promote it on our Facebook page, we can put it onto one of our boards on Pinterest, we can take a 15 to 30 second clip of it and put it onto Instagram, we can put a link to that into our newsletter. We're pushing it out in so many different mediums that are reaching so many different targets that our message is out there kind of flooding the market. We can use it as part of our digital advertising. We can use it as a native ad that will pop up on somebody's as they're scrolling through their feed on a news outlet, but they've already expressed an interest in RVing and we're following them. That story will appear there. So we find our people that we know have that lifestyle that will fit in with the RVing, and our messages can get to them on a much quicker basis. And the really cool thing is, even just to give you some insight, like when we send out a newsletter, we do a test that goes out from the computers of a small portion, and we send it out with two different headlines. And within 10 minutes, we know which headline will be opened more. That's when we send out the rest of our information. So we're trying to be the most efficient we can to getting the message to the people in the way that we know they'll at least open it, read it, and get to know what we're about so that they can experience it.
Well, you've already told us a lot about, obviously, why your job is exciting to you. I mean, I think that comes through really loudly from talking to you. But you also shared a story with me yesterday about how you had jumped around a little bit from job to job before coming to RVIA. I think you said that you hadn't stayed at any job for more than 2 years, was it?
I hadn't quite made it to 2 years at any job prior to
that. All right.
That,
so. And so when you came to RVIA, they were a little like, okay, you're going to hang out here for a while. And you've been here for 27 years. So what is it about this job, about this organization, that has kept you planted, right, still innovating, but planted for almost three decades?
My background's always been public relations, marketing, advertising kind of area. And it's not a hard sell. I'm not trying to convince people that they need to buy a product that maybe 10 years down the line will do them harm. This is so wholesome. And I think part of it is because I came into it not having children and went through that whole mommy phase. And my kids adored every trip that we took. They still today talk about the RV trips that they took. I took them into New York City so my son could see the Statue of Liberty so when he was younger. We've been to the beach. We've been to the mountains. We've been everywhere by RV, and the experiences they've had, I would never take them to a hotel, open up the door, send them into the hallway and say, go have fun, I'll see you in a few hours. But the minute we pulled into the campground, my son was yelling, get my bike out, get my bike out. And he was gone, and half an hour later, he was back with his new best friend, and they'd put the playing cards in their spokes, or they had the tin cans on, the aluminum cans on their tie. They were, I was 11 o'clock at night, I was sitting at the campfire, where were they? They were out with the social director at the campground, and they were playing flashlight tag, and I knew they were safe. You can't do that in a hotel, and the campgrounds become like a last small town, and they're wholesome. The families have a great experience. I always tell people when they're going out, if you're not social, you're going to be shocked, because the minute you pull in, there's going to be somebody that's going to want to come see your RV. They're going to want to come talk to you, and you've got to expect that there's going to be a knock on the door sooner than you anticipate, and there are a few people that are kind of taken back by that in the beginning. It's a great social experience. So it was so easy for me to get excited about the products, about the experiences that people are going to have, because I know that we're creating the best memories for families, for couples even. The time that you spend when you can just shut down and get away from the everyday life and just spend that time together, you can't replace those moments. So it's very easy for me to tell people, this is definitely something you want to do because I believe it.
So you believe in the lifestyle that you're marketing.
Absolutely.
And I think that comes across in all of GoRVing's campaign materials. And they really are inspirational and enjoyable to watch. And we always recommend them to our listeners. So thank you, Karen, for joining us.
That's wonderful. We thank you for spreading the message and, you know, for getting people excited about this lifestyle so that they can experience it through your experience as well. They travel with you and your family, and they get to know what it's about. And I think that's the most important part, is the people are out there telling that story for us. So what we're trying to do is just share those stories that people are already telling. We're not creating a story. We're not trying to force an idea on people. It's just saying, these people are already doing it here. You know, here's their story.
Yeah, see how they
and
do
we
it.
We just want to share it. And the great part is social media and digital media has made it so easy for us to share. So everybody
creates
else
a,
is already
community.
Telling that story for us.
It's just a little bit of a bigger
it
community.
Is.
So, and
yes,
it's a good
it
one to be a member of as far as we're concerned. So thanks again, Karen.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 66 of RVFTA, Greetings from the National RV Trade Show. Now, I'm going to put Stephanie on the spot.
Your favorite thing to do.
I love it. What's your biggest takeaway from spending 4 days at the Louisville Trade Show?
All right, so I heard the message over and over again that we are going to innovate, and I saw that in action. Floor plans, efficiency, comfort, all those things are happening. But it happens at a slower rate, maybe, than we as consumers would generally like. But the message in the industry is there. We cannot keep putting out the same RV over and over again.
So the RV industry is listening to the consumer.
Yeah, and I saw that in very specific ways that we'll talk a lot about over the next few months.
Excellent. Okay. Again, thank you to Kevin Broom, and thank you to Karen Redfern, and thank you to everybody at the RVIA for letting Stephanie go and giving her that media badge. I don't know what you were thinking, but...
Thanks for having me,
here's
RVIA.
The end result. Thank you very much, and we'll see everybody next week.